From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, does science want to prove that we have incredible abilities of telepathy, precognition, spirituality? Well, maybe. Dr. Charles Tart joins us for a full program. Here's what's happening. Well, listen to this one. Having a lower than average IQ is in itself a risk factor for heart disease, according to researchers in the United Kingdom. In a study of over 4,000 people, IQ alone explained more than 20% of the difference in mortality between high and low socioeconomic groups. My take on all this is if you've got a higher IQ, you probably take care of yourself better, you eat better, you watch your calories, you take your supplements. People with a lower IQ probably don't. That's my take. After more than a month's delay, Space Shuttle Endeavour and seven astronauts thundered into orbit Wednesday on a flight to the International Space Station. Success came on launch try number 6 on the eve of the 40th anniversary of the liftoff of man's first moon landing. But the mood was dampened somewhat when NASA managers watched the launch video. What did they see? Several pieces of foam insulation coming off the external fuel tank during liftoff, and the shuttle was hit 2 or 3 times. Our science advisor, Richard C. Hoagland, will continue to watch and monitor this situation. Engineers there, of course, are very concerned. They're testing, you know, standard procedure ever since flights resumed following the Columbia disaster. In Iran, a Russian-made Iranian passenger plane carrying 168 people crashed shortly after takeoff, smashing into a field northwest of the capital of Tehran and shattering into flaming pieces. All on board were killed in Iran's worst air disaster in 6 years. Israel is preparing for something. Two Israeli warships sailed through the Suez Canal on 10 days after a submarine believed to be a nuclear-armed one made the crossing. The deployment into the Red Sea, confirmed by Israeli officials, came ahead of long-range exercises by the Israeli Air Force with the U.S. later this month and the test of a missile defense shield at a U.S. missile range in the Pacific. Israel has strengthened ties with some Arab nations who also fear a nuclear-armed Iran. In particular, relations with Egypt have grown increasingly strong this year over the shared mutual distrust of Iran. Keep your eyes on this one. Our feature story at coasttocoastam.com, miniature robots could be good spies, and researchers now are experimenting with insect cyborgs or cybugs that could work even better. Scientists can already control the flight of real moths using implanted devices, and the military and the spy world, no doubt, would love tiny live cameras all over the place on little tiny predator drones. Just read the story at coasttocoastam.com. In Washington, state of, a woman accused of killing her 4 daughters told police in an interview that the girls were possessed by demons and that she got rid of most of the family's possessions to contain the evil spirits. The Pacific tsunami warning says that a tsunami generated after a 7.8 magnitude earthquake off of New Zealand, and they are getting rocked with many right now, is small and poses no threat. The warning center says no destructive waves are headed for New Zealand's western coastline after a tsunami warning was issued earlier. Michelle sends me this frantic email. George, please, it's time for another visualization for Texas. We need rain. Please, 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 have the Coast listeners do another visualization. The heat and drought is killing Texas. You've done it before. You can do it again. Well, I looked at this email and I said, you know what? Why not? So in 19 minutes from now, at the half mark, 19 minutes from now, I want all of you to concentrate just for a little bit on Texas and on a little bit of rain. And let's just see what happens. I know it's not that scientific here, but let's give it a try. And Michelle and everybody else in Texas, keep me informed of the progress. Mysteries of the Universe, UFO and Paranormal Conference coming up. These annual mysteries always attract people interested in the unexplained. In Kansas City, Missouri, this year, even diehard paranormal enthusiasts could be shocked at some of the things discussed. Margie Kay is the Missouri State Section Director for MUFON. Margie has studied the UFO phenomenon for many years and is the conference director for MUFON's Mysteries of the Universe UFO and Paranormal Conference. She's on the line. So you got to say hi to Bruce Whiteman for me, Margie, when you see him, by the way.
Well, I certainly will, and thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Tell me, what is going on in the Midwest with regards to UFO reports these days?
Well, we have had an increase since the beginning of the year, but in the past month, my office alone in Kansas City is getting one call per day minimum. And these are mostly reports that cannot be explained away easily. And a few of them are very close encounters of large objects, and it's just very, very strange. We're not sure what's going on.
It is baffling. You know, the Midwest has always had some pretty good reports over the years, and in these particular ones, does MUFON get to a point where they get concerned over the UFO reports, surprised? What happens?
Well, we're surprised in Missouri, and our state director, Debbie Ziegelmeyer, is surprised. And I don't know if this is going to be turned into the star team or not, but I'm afraid it needs to be just because of the most recent reports that are just so fantastic.
Fantastic indeed. Now, the conference is going to be?
Conference will be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday from 12 to 10 and Sunday from 9 to 5 in Kansas City. And we've got a great speaker lineup. The cost is $70. It covers both days, but Coast to Coast listeners can get $5 off. They just mentioned they heard this.
Every dollar counts. How about your website? What is it?
www.mouconference.net, or they can call 816-833-1602.
Okay, good luck at your conference, Margie. You know, for years, we have been following the mission of Dr. Brooks Agnew as he is attempting to put together a group to go into the Hollow Earth. Up next, an update with Dr. Brooks Agnew on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Brooks Agnew entered the Air Force in 1973, where he became an electronics engineer. He has a bachelor's degree in chemistry, a master's degree in statistics, and a PhD in physics. He was a featured scientist in the 1997 Wendy Robbins documentary on HAARP, Holes in Heaven. Dr. Agnew has recently co-authored a landmark publication on the creation of the Earth, the Ark of Millions of Years. And here he is this hour on Coast to Coast. Brooks, how are you?
I am doing wonderful, George. Good to be on.
My pleasure, too. I have been getting so many phone calls about the possibility of a hollow Earth and a few about your planned expedition. I thought we'd get an update from you on what's going on.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one getting all the phone calls. Well, you know, just to give a real brief history, you know, in 2006, early 2006, I joined the expedition team, which was headed up then by Stephen Curry, who very suddenly and unexpectedly passed away in 2006. And we really, really miss the heart of an explorer that he had. So in 2006, I was tasked to take over the leadership of the expedition and try to put it together and keep it going. We did not have enough momentum to get it done in 2006. And so we set our sights on 2007 because in the winter of 2006, when that ice began to form for the first time.
You mean there's still ice up there, Brooks?
Yeah, it forms. It forms every winter, but it forms so thinly that winter that it actually broke off and exposed a section of ocean, a section of sea that has not been seen in modern times. They believe it was covered with ice for about 200,000 years. So we have an unexplored area of our planet that opened up. So we really pushed hard in 2007, and we just did not have enough momentum to get it done. So we set our sights on 2008. We really thought we had that done. And what happened was, unbeknownst to us, the economy fell apart. And we had bank failures. We had investors that we were counting on who were worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, worth nothing, and they couldn't help it.
Oh gosh!
So, but you know, we didn't lose the money that we had put together. We kept going. We published a film, a short we call it the North Pole Inner Earth Expedition Part 1. We started at Mount Shasta. We followed the legend all the way to Tibet, and we brought back that film and produced a film as kind of a fundraising effort, and it aired in Japan and took first prize in the Genes of Galileo contest. 17 million Japanese watched that film. So we realized at that point that more people know about the Hollow Earth than knew about Middle Earth before the movies came out.
Well, that's true. Now, and give me, try to paint a picture for us, Brooks. If you're on this ship and you're going toward the North Pole and you claim it's hollow, and we'll talk about that in a second. If you continue onward based on the curvature of the planet, you'll slowly go right into this hole, I take it, right? And it's all ocean?
Yes, it's all ocean. And the theory is, and believe me, we've had no small challenge trying to put together a measurement system to see if we were going over into a hole or not, because on the ocean, you only have about 8 or 9 miles of view, because then the curvature of the Earth takes over.
Yeah.
So we actually have to use the same kind of gyroscope that's used to stabilize missiles or spacecraft, not the kind used in airplanes, so that we can track the curvature of the Earth as the ship is progressing over the water. And when that starts rotating faster than the curvature of the Earth should allow for, it means we're starting to sail into what Russian maritime experts call the oceanic depression. That leads to, they believe, a hole into the inner Earth. Now, I'm skeptical because I'm a scientist.
So you're saying you don't believe there's a hole in the center of the planet, or the hole, or there's a hollow Earth?
That's an accurate statement.
All right.
I'm a scientist, and belief has nothing to do with it. What I found was there's no evidence. No one has ever been there.
What about Admiral Byrd and his group?
Yes. Now, he flew over it at 2,500 feet, and that's why he's an aviation hero and not a statistic. We can't get anybody to fly over at 2,500 feet. The lowest we could get someone to fly over is 17,000 feet. And this area, very strangely enough, is always covered with clouds.
Brooks, if there was a hole in the middle of the planet, which would be hundreds of miles wide, why isn't NASA or some other space agency from another country giving us this information?
It's a good question. In 2006, February of 2006, there was an international treaty signed, and it's law in the United States. It's called the Data Denial Act, and it specifically bars the release of any data from weather or photographic satellites of areas above the 70th parallel.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, if it's there, let's just speculate for a moment here. If it's there, what's the concern then? Why not tell us about it?
Well, that's a good question. You make an assumption that the military knows about it, that maybe they've sailed their submarines into it, or that they have some privy knowledge.
Or there's something else going on.
Or maybe something else going on. But, you know, it's funny. There's an Indiana Jones aspect to this beside the, geological ideas that our planet may not be a set of tectonic plates floating around on a molten ball like we were taught in school. But maybe it's tied into this increased UFO activity. Maybe it's tied into this extreme jump in human consciousness, not just in this country, Tibet, China, Japan, everywhere we've been. People are really in sync with the planet somehow. They're getting ultra concerned about taking care of the water, the air, doing away with trash, switching over to electric vehicles, using alternative fuels. It's happening everywhere.
Well, it is happening everywhere. That's true. Yet this has been a story that has been circling this planet for so many years now. I just wish somebody would get in there and find out what's going on.
Me too. Now, we did think we had it done this year. We actually went to a Norwegian charter company. We thought, okay, let's go to a bigger ship, take 500 people. We just discussed this earlier this spring, you and I.
Right. Absolutely.
And that went very well. Look, we were going to get the cost down low enough where the passengers themselves could pay for the expedition and we could make it happen. And then the charter company ran up against the Russians. They will not allow any ship except theirs to go above the 81st parallel. We need to go to the 86th parallel. So we're back in the Russian camp.
Tell me a little bit about all of this in your latest work, The Arc of Millions of Years.
Well, The Arc of Millions of Years started out in 2004 with the first volume, which was on the creation and destiny of the Earth. I was approached by a religious archaeologist who wanted a physics side to a book on the creation of the Earth. And I was really amazed at what I found in these ancient documents. Lots of very accurate physics observations with just the missing science. So when we put that together, the first book came out and it went right to the top of the charts. I said, holy cow, you mean people are interested in this stuff? So we quickly got the second book out, and recently, last July, as a matter of fact, Volume 3 came out, and it went straight to the top of the charts. And now the trilogy is complete, and it discusses the origin, the destiny of the Earth, and it sets everything up for 2012.
Well, it sure does, and soon enough. There's only a few years to go, Brooks.
And, you know, it's interesting. The things that these ancient civilizations predicted would happen, darned if they aren't happening. The planetary alignments are happening. The oceanic currents are changing. The weather's changing. Solar flare activity is doing exactly what the ancients said that it would do. And solar scientists are really baffled right now. They don't know what's going on with the sun.
I've been talking to some guests lately, Brooks, that talk about the sun having a brown dwarf twin and that this is responsible for so much havoc on this planet. Some people would call it Planet X, and that it was responsible, for example, the flood of Noah. What do you think?
I agree with that. I think that our sun is actually part of a binary star system. We just can't see it because it's not lit up. But the way our solar system moves and the way the pyramid is aligned with the star Sirius and has been for 11,000 years, as far as we know, means that our solar system is actually revolving around that star system. Something in there is providing the gravity for it to do that.
Does any of this conflict with spiritual or religious beliefs?
Well, of course it does. I mean, in the medieval times, we enforced upon the people the belief that the Earth was the center of the universe and everything revolved around us. And if it wasn't for the bravery and civility of Copernicus, we still wouldn't know it. Oh, well, maybe we would by now, but, you know, the fact that science and religion have been at odds for many, many centuries doesn't surprise us at all. And now it seems science is at odds with common sense in a lot of ways.
So when do you go hunting for the Bermuda Triangle?
Well, I've been across the Bermuda Triangle many times. There are certainly mysteries about it, but I'm not studying it, and I'm not an expert on it, but it is definitely an anomaly.
Brooks, you're also very active in conserving energy, conserving ecological disaster on this planet. How is that going for you?
Well, it's actually going a lot better than we expected. About 15 years ago, the company that I work for launched out building electric vehicles and quickly became the biggest in the country until 1998, when political aspirations in California ended the electric car mandates and the industry died with it. Gas was $1.05 a gallon. Who wanted an electric car? But now, gas is back up in price. It's going to stay up. It's not going down. And we are really concerned about greenhouse gases. So we relaunched Global Green Cars, which is the name of the company back in 1993, 1994, 1995, when we set all the world records. And it is taking off. We filed for a Department of Energy grant. That is looking really good. We passed our first review. And it looks like, just as the giants are beginning to topple to their knees, a nice, well-positioned independent car company is about to be the biggest producer of electric vehicles in the country.
That'll be very interesting to see what happens. Give us your websites, Brooks.
It's globalgreencars.com.
Okay, very good. And Anything with the Ark of the Millions of Years, is that still available?
Yes, it is. That website is arkofmillionsofyears.com. We're still selling the trilogies. If you buy those books, Coast to Coast listeners will get the first two volumes as an audiobook for free.
Very good. Thanks, Brooks. Now, I'll be back in just a moment with Open Lines. Lots going on tonight. And in about a minute or so, concentrate on the state of Texas and on rain. Let's do this experiment once and for all, and let's track it and see what happens. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Open Lines next. I'll be back. Well, another email in, this one from Rick in San Antonio. I hope you concentrated on Texas, and maybe they can get some rain. He says, please have the listeners concentrate on several days of slow, soaking rains to refill our aquifers, replenish our landscape, take care of the thirst of this parched area of the U.S. We need this mind experiment. Southern Texas, especially 13 of the last 15 days, over 100-degree temperatures, a drought of record. We need rain. Farmers and ranchers need rain. Lakes and streams need rain. Grass fires popping up all over the place. It's getting serious down there. We'll see what happens. We'll track it. Next hour, Dr. Charles Tart joins us. The end of materialism. How evidence of the paranormal is bringing science and spirit together. But when I come back, Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to the Open Line edition of Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to the phones now. We'll pick it up by going to Irving, Texas on the wildcard line. Ted, take it away.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure,
good to talk to you, a long-time listener and first-time caller.
I guess it is pretty dry your way, huh?
It has been pretty dry. I've seen signs that it's going to rain this weekend in this area. An old pilot that I used to fly with in the Gulf of Mexico, an old pipeliner, told me when you see the mare's tails in the sky, you know, the clouds that are kind of like streaming like the manes of a horse,
yeah,
that within 2 to 3 days you will get rain. And I've seen that it's pretty much held to be true in my case.
Well, maybe we can help generate some.
Hopefully. I will concentrate on it. I believe in the power of the mind. It controls your spirit and your body and your whole lifestyle. I've had a lot of unfortunate things happen to me, but I'm concentrating on the positive and trying to keep a positive attitude. We'll all get through this together if we can keep our minds that way.
Absolutely, Ted, and that's very important. I think you have to stay positive no matter what you do, because if you don't, it's not going to happen.
Now, as far as and physically, even, I mean, you have a negative attitude, you know, when you have some sort of traumatic experience and stuff. If you decide, you give up the ghost, so they say, you know.
Don't you feel like running away, Ted, from people that are so negative that, you know, they just ruin the moment for everyone?
Well, if we all ran away from our problems, at least we'd all be running in the same direction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you ever get a bad waiter or waitress who just happen to have one of their bad days, one of their bad moments? Those are the days they just should not go to work. Or management should say, hey, take the day off, just go away. Because they impart that whole feeling on you, and it's a horrible experience. If that's happened to you, you know what I'm talking about. We'll go to Tim, first-time caller. He happens to be in Las Vegas. Are you rolling dice, Tim?
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Hey, I had a really interesting question that came to my mind the other day. Well, two things.
Okay.
First thing is the ethereal bodies of ghosts. Can you breathe them? And if you do, is that how people are getting possessed?
Hmm.
Because think about it. When you see a ghost, you can see through it. You see, you know, it's there, so it's obviously breathable.
That's interesting.
And maybe that is how possession happens. The other thing,
like smoke,
right? Like, yeah. Well, it looks like smoke when people see ghosts. Yep. I've seen one, and you know, the other thing is, have you seen this guy on YouTube who made the Coast to Coast movie? His name's Grandpa. He's this old guy.
No, I haven't seen that one. I've seen a couple of them.
Well, this old guy Grandpa, it's Grandpa Universe on YouTube, and let me tell you, this thing is weird.
Is he having fun?
It's all white. It's this white thing, and he's with a robot or something, and I don't know what it is. I thought it was you guys. That's why I found it. I thought it was you guys because the title of it is Coast to Coast. This guy is great. He's got all these movies. He's this old guy. think you should check it out. It's really cool.
Okay,
Graham
I'll do it, Tim. All right, my friend. Take care. Las Vegas, been hot there, too. It's hot all over the place these days. St. Louis was extremely muggy. By the way, got a great email from Discovery Channel today. They're working away on something. They are working away on something with regards to a possible television tie-in, so I'll keep you informed later. Santa Cruz, California, we go west of the Rockies. Hey, Perry, good morning, good evening.
Good evening, George. Listen, I want to give you two pieces of thing I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
The ultra-capacitor battery from S-Store has passed its permeability test, and will be ready in September, and that will be like a 200 to 500 mile range.
That's dramatic.
You need to look into it. You can go to the website and check it out.
All right, we'll do.
Zen Motor Car and work your way around down there. Number two, what are they going to tell these passengers after they take Branson takes them up and they start seeing UFOs outside?
And maybe coming back with some great photographs.
Well, no, I know that, but it's they're going to have, I don't know whether they're going to take these passengers aside and tell them to keep their mouth shut or what.
They're going to get tailed. You know that.
Well, I know that, but it's just an interesting thought. That's going to happen as more and more people in space are going to start seeing these things, and they're going to be less. It's not going to be able to explain them.
What's he charging, $200,000 a trip? I don't think he can keep people to keep their mouths shut.
Well, I know, but maybe the military, you know, whatever.
Not for that kind of money. By the way, Monday, first hour, we're going to have a special tribute on the 40th anniversary of the moon landing. So we'll have some excerpts and some guests, and we'll do that before we get into our main program. But can you believe that? 40 years since we landed on the moon, the first time. First time. I remember watching television. It's one of those old black and white TVs. And in those days, those of you who are too young to remember, they used to make televisions as furniture. That wasn't really just a TV set. It was a piece of furniture that was in your living room or your family room, and it fit the decor of whatever your parents had in that house. And it was heavy. And then if something happened to it, as it always did, we had what was called television repair people. They actually would come to your house, like doctors used to, with tubes, and they would fix your television. And I got to tell you, as a kid, it was the greatest feeling watching this guy come in with his tubes and fix your TV. I mean, it was just euphoria. He'd turn it on, and it would... And then he put the right tube in there, and there it was. Leave It to Beaver and all those other great shows and The Twilight Zone. Old times. Now, TVs are almost disposable. You just use them for a while, and then when they fade away, you just get another one. New flat screens, though, are something else. Paul in Monroe, Michigan, east of the Rockies. Hey, Paul, welcome.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
I used to live in Taylor, Michigan, so you probably remember from down there.
Sure thing.
Hey, did you hear anything about the tanker that lost control up on 9 Mile and 75 this evening?
No, I did not. What happened?
It was about, 15 miles north of Detroit, on going northbound on 75. And I guess another car or truck one nudged him, and he lost control and flipped it over. Luckily, he was able to get out of the truck before it exploded. It exploded, and between the fire and the explosion took out the north the overpass on the northbound side, which is the east-west 9 Mile road.
Oh my gosh! That's going to take a long time to fix.
Take a long time to fix, and supposedly he was the only one supposedly got injured, from what I understand. It happened about 8:30 this evening.
Paul, I remember back in the late 70s when I was out there as a television producer, we had tanker truck accidents almost every month. Do you remember that? All the time.
I didn't remember all that. I know they said there was another one, which was probably down on 75 near Springwells, that about 2 or 3 months ago that turned over and caused some damage on the freeway then, too.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks again, Paul. Yeah. Let's go to first-time caller Mandy in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Mandy.
Hi. I was calling to talk about UFOs, because I think I was abducted by UFOs.
What do you mean you think?
Well, okay, because I was driving home from work one night, and, I wasn't drinking or anything, but I was, driving home from work, and, I don't even remember, getting home. I just, I was probably like a mile, 2 miles away from my house.
So you have
like,
missing time going on.
Yeah, I'm missing time. And so, like, I think I was abducted by aliens, but I'm not sure because I can't remember anything.
Let me tell you, Mandy, a lot of times we have missing time when we drive. I bet almost everybody has gotten into a car, has got to where they're supposed to be, and can't remember how they got from point A to point B. So that could have happened to you, too. If you were abducted, you'd have some strange dreams and some things, weird things would be happening to you. It doesn't sound like that's happening, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. Let's go to Beaumont, Texas. Harold on the wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Harold.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Well, I'm in southeast Texas, and we have a 30% chance of rain tomorrow, so I hope you all were doing some praying for the middle of mid-Texas because they probably need it a lot more than we do.
I did one of those blanket things, so probably the whole state will get deluged now.
Okay. Well, that'll be good.
Just my luck, though, it won't stop raining.
As long as it'll go for just a few days, that's okay.
All right, let it happen.
Believe me, we can handle those 14 or 15 inches.
Man, the crops must be burning up out there.
Where I am, really, it's pretty green. I'm in southeast Texas, and we're about 90% humidity and all that sort of thing, so it's still pretty green here.
So far.
Yeah, so far.
All right, Vancouver, Washington we go. Nick, you're up with us. Hey, Nick.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, you had a guest on the other night talking about the sun's binary twin.
Yes.
And NASA and NSA, they scrubbed the images on the original Pioneer 10 and 11 trajectory, but the image still exists if you go to Google Images. You can actually pull up the image showing the dark star and the 10th planet, and this is a NASA JPL trajectory diagram.
Okay, you can see it illustrated there.
Yes. If you type in H period S period Stutman, that's Stuttman, they were an encyclopedia manufacturer in 1985, 86, and 87 in the Connecticut area. Very scientific journal, and the actual trajectory showing the dark star says 50 billion miles next to it in parentheses, and then the 10th planet, but it's the original JPL that no longer exists on the in the NASA archives.
Why would they have pulled this?
Well, I'll tell you what, I spent probably 40 hours over a period of 6 months trying to find that image, and it jumps right over it. Why did they pull it? Because it actually shows the 10th planet and the dark star as per the JPL trajectory. I mean, this is their own diagram. This is the one with the circle, and that this is when they sent out the Pioneer 10 and 11 and then triangulated that dark star back in the early 80s after IRAS found it.
All right, we've got to check in with Hoagland on this one.
H.S. Stutman under Google Images, and you will see the trajectory diagram.
All right, let's go right around the corner now to Los Angeles. Hello, Alex. It's your turn.
Hi, George. Appreciate you taking a call.
Sure thing.
I'm here in Los Angeles. I follow Alex Jones' news website daily on most listeners' show and other websites. Big fan of your show. Wondering if you were aware of this story he broke pretty much on the last few days. I guess it's a copy of a textbook for government officials, I guess, in the 77. It was written by President Obama's science czar. And they have scans of the book. It literally details, the one world government, police state, forced abortions, eugenics. It's actually quite terrifying. So I was just wondering if you...
I saw that on his Infowars.com website.
Right.
Of course, Alex pops up on the show every once in a while. So he'll be coming on again shortly. That'll
just
be one of the topics.
Opinion, though. Do you actually believe
if it's real, it's there. It's there in black and white.
Right.
And, it will follow this administration forever. I'm watching this very strange story of a military man who refused to go to Afghanistan because he doesn't claim the president has the right because he claims he's not really the president. It's a strange story. And then WorldNet Daily broke a report today that claims that our government has gotten this guy fired from his private job. So I don't know what's going on, but I want to look into that, too. There's a bigger story out there. And, media needs to do a more thorough job on it. And these little alternative shows or websites do a pretty thorough job on some of these things. There's a lot of rumor, innuendo, and junk out there. And you got to search through it. But some of that, there's a lot of truth to it. Let's go to Roanoke, Virginia. Vince, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Vince, good night.
Hey, yeah, great. I'm glad I got through. Say, I really miss Grandpa Munster when you used to have him on.
Oh, I never had Grandpa Munster on. Maybe Art did.
Grandpa, he played the vampire. He played the dad.
I remember him, Grandpa Munster. He's dead now, but I never had him on the show.
I could have sworn you had him on there. He talked about the deli and his mob connections in New York.
No.
Because you're talking about Leave It to Beaver, and I know you like them old black and white shows.
Yeah, loved them. We never had Grandpa Munster on. I would have, I guess, in my day.
What was it from not the Addams Family, was it? The real old guy that played the vampire, the crazy scientist with Herman.
You got the right guy, but we never had him on. Now, I've had an old scientist on the air, Dr. Morgus.
Man, I could have sworn you had the whole interview with him. He talked about his mob connections in New York City and the deli.
I never had him.
Well, look, I enjoy the talk about the planet and space and about history of Earth, but I got to give you a warning.
There's a butt coming here. All right, what?
The thing is, you know, God warns us against putting stock in astrology and soothsaying and conjuring up familiar spirits throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, from Moses and the law to the prophets. It says that we should be very careful when we start talking about the future and start trying to predict the future.
Well, I think you might be right there. Don't forget, though, the book of Revelation right there, and the last part of the Bible predicts some pretty scary things, too. Very scary things. Next up, we go to Phoenix, Arizona. Kevin, where it must be 140 degrees.
Yeah, it's pretty hot here tonight, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
You had an individual, and I don't remember his name, last week talking about Wormwood.
Yep.
And he was, one of his dire predictions he was saying that was going to happen to the Earth was that one-third of the Earth would be incinerated.
Yeah, he doesn't paint a pretty picture.
No, that was actually a very interesting, fascinating program. But he said it was because one part of the Earth would be exposed to it, while the other two-thirds wouldn't be exposed to it. I was thinking the whole time I was listening to it that maybe the entire surface of the Earth would be covered, blanketed with this incineration process, because two-thirds of the Earth is ocean and one-third is landmass.
Yeah, but don't forget, only a certain portion will be facing this object, he thinks.
Yeah, but I would think it'd be coming in slow enough that, I mean...
I see what you mean. And still rip us apart.
Right, it would still rip us apart. The entire Earth will many times, revolve on its axis when this thing's next to it, when these node rings come through the Earth.
Well, he says it's going to happen pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully not this summer. It's hot enough in Phoenix as it is.
By the way, we're on a clock now with Major Ed Dames, remote viewer. He predicted two episodes on the last time he was on with me that he said would occur within 6 months. And he said there'd be a huge earthquake here in this area and that Israel would attack Iran. We'll see what happens. Interesting story, though, today about Israel, that they're getting warships ready. They've had their subs ready. So we'll see. But, I mean, that window is closing very, very soon. So we'll see what happens there with remote viewer Ed Dames. We've got time now. Katrina in Memphis, Tennessee. I've only got about a minute for you, Katrina. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to tell you, you really took me down memory lane and you were talking about the TV repairman. All of a sudden, our TV repairman's name, Mr. Osaski, popped in my mind.
Mr. Osaski.
So cool when he came to the house and opened up that case. But anyway, I was just going to ask you, George, where is the good news in all of this about 2012? Because really everything points to that. I mean, it's amazing the wealth of predictions out there for so many years across so many civilizations and their religious books, you know, and it seems like it's going to happen. And at this point, it just doesn't seem good.
Well, the good news is, Katrina, I think we're all going to still be here, and we're all going to go through it together. Speaking of going through things together, up next, Dr. Charles Tart, The End of Materialism, How Evidence of the Paranormal is Bringing Science and Spirit Together. Wherever you may be, at home, driving, at work, sit around, get ready for the rest of Coast to Coast AM.